I have a message I believe is from the Spirit of the Living God that's going to touch you and encourage you. It's a message that even myself, I'll be paying a lot of attention in my heart to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and especially right now. We, as believers, we pray a lot. We really do pray, and prayer is very essential. We pray and pray and pray. We ask our friends to pray. We ask everybody, including leaders, to pray. And there is a lot that goes on and very important with prayer. But I'm going to be talking about prayer in relationship to decisions. We have been talking about series on the Holy Spirit and how to include, or not just include, but have Holy Spirit lead us in our decision making. And when I realized that in our day-to-day and from centuries, actually since the birthing of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the decisions are made every day, some big decisions, some small decisions, by families, by single individuals, by corporations, by governments, by rulers, decisions are made. And today I am going to be speaking about the power of prayer and how it affects our decision-making process. I remember, and I'm going to just start with this, when I was in Africa, as many of you all know, I was born and raised in Africa. And I was 20, in my early 20s, when I came in the United States. But the one decision that I entered a life to, and especially a decision to leave Kenya, to leave my homeland and come to America, was a major decision to me. And I remember that at the time, because my parents were young in the Lord, my dad was not even born again at the time, but my mom was, but still young in the Lord. My brother was young in the Lord. There wasn't really a lot of people I knew that I could go for help to help me in my decisions that I had to make. And that's why especially I feel for young Christians or brothers and sisters that don't have spiritual people around them to help them in guiding them to make their decisions and make their right decisions. And I remember very well that I had to go to the forest and I had to engage, because when my cousins brought the gospel to me, they introduced me to a thing we call prayer and fasting. And I had to go to the forest, and I had to do a lot of prayer and fasting. As a matter of fact, Pastor Angel, who is the director of Missions for Christ Ministries over there, before we began Missions for Christ Ministries, he went for 3 months in prayer and fasting in the forest. And he waited there until he heard the voice of the Lord clear. And when he wrote me the 6-page letter about Missions for Christ Ministries, the Lord had already spoken to me about it. And so our vision matched. It's like God just brought it together. And that's how Missions for Christ Ministries was birthed. It was not birthed by the will of man. It was not birthed by decisions on a conference room. It was birthed in the Spirit, in the Lord, with the Lord, like Moses was like at Mount Sinai. Because there was a major thing to be done to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. It wasn't an easy task. And Moses had to go and spend time in the presence of the Lord and inquire of the Lord how the task was to be accomplished. And many people today, unfortunately, they don't know, or if they know, they are not very keen and very serious when it comes to matters of prayer before proceeding on a decision. Because preaching today around the world and around in many places has become to whereby I'll make you feel good, and whatever makes you feel good is what you're going to go for. And places like this and many other places where there is a real truth being spoken, people kind of, you know, they don't want to hear it. But I can tell you from my personal experience, everything I've gotten myself that is good, I've gotten it from a place of prayer with God. Prayer is essential, especially when you are facing crosswords in your life, in decisions. Most people and most of us, and I have been there, I've done it, we pray here and there during the day. But we are commanded to constantly commune with the Lord throughout day and night. Let's open our Bibles to Philippians 4:6, which is a very familiar part of the scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Because most people are motivated. We are motivated sometimes to make decisions out of pressure or anxiety. We think God is not doing it fast enough. I have been tempted many times myself, and I have to remind myself constantly. But Philippians 4:6, the Bible says, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. If you are there, we're going to read Philippians chapter 4. And verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, I want you to mark that word because I'll be coming a lot with that word, peace of God. Because many people are looking for peace without efforts. It's after prayer, after supplication, and I would love to add the word fasting if I could. The peace of God which passeth all understanding will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. There are so many people right now by the Spirit of the Lord, and I know you may be even watching online, but there is no peace. You have had many sleepless nights. There is no peace. Because the circumstances and the situations you are facing are speaking louder than the Spirit of God and than God Himself, and you have no peace, you are restless, there is no peace. But I am here and I have good news for you. There is peace in Christ Jesus. Jesus will give us peace in the midst of fire, in the midst of the greatest challenges in life. And I know because myself, I have been in the most challenging situations in my life, both in Africa and in the United States. And I can tell you, there is that peace. It's a peace of God that man cannot give you. It's a peace of God that money cannot give you. I have dealt as a businessman with millionaires who have a lot of money, big houses, big cars, but there is no peace. What good is it to have all those things and your body is sick? You have terminal diseases. Money is not the answer for what I'm talking about. Good family, good all that stuff in the world is not the answer. The answer is to know the one who created it. The answer is to know the King Jesus. The answer, if you're watching online, I'm going to encourage you and tell you the answer is in Christ Jesus. I have been abandoned by many. I have been cast away by many. I have been left on my own by many, including leaders, simply because I did not adhere to what they wanted me to do. And they say to me, if you cannot do what I want you to do, then you are on your own. But I thank you, Jesus, and I want to encourage you out there. You'll never be by your own. You'll never be left out by your own. There is a King. There is a Jesus. There is a God. Do we miss it? Yes, we all miss it. But I thank God, like Jesus told Peter, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Jesus saw some weaknesses in Peter, but Jesus was about to restore Peter. And I thank God that God is about to restore us even in our weaknesses. He is about bringing us back home and telling us you can make it. I know it is difficult. I know it is hard, but you can make it. You can come back to the Father's house. Glory to God. And so what does prayer do here? Because I want to stay with this subject. It does something that nothing else can do. As a matter of fact, and I don't want to go before, I'm going to show you a scripture where Jesus came back to his disciples again regarding this subject of prayer. Sometimes we speak prayers around. We know how to pray, especially Pentecostals. We know how to pray loud. I remember when I was in Africa, I went to this Pentecostal prayer meeting, and everybody was praying so loud, nobody could even, hallelujah, some of us may have needed earplugs because there was so much high noise going on all around. I guess they thought that if they play slow or they did not shout, God will not hear them. But God is not hard of hearing. God can hear you even when you are just conversing with him. Sometimes in my room upstairs, in my house, I would walk and say, Daddy, is that okay with you? Is that okay with you? What do I do over here? I don't know what to do in this situation. How do I handle this? What do I do here? And he'll talk to me. Sometimes I wish he can talk to me fast enough. But sometimes it takes a while. But I think what God is doing, he is waiting on us to be ready. Because how many have ever gone to speak with somebody and somebody was not ready to hear them? They were hearing them, but they were not hearing them. You know there is a difference between, Brother Vincent, hearing and hearing. That's the word. There is a difference between hearing and listening. For example, you can hear some noise out there or people talking out there, but you're really not listening to what they are saying. Most times we are not listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. But prayer without hearing God is not prayer. Let me say that again. Prayer without hearing. Prayer should be a conversation as well. Of course, there are many different types of prayer. Consecration, worship, all kinds of prayer, petitions. And we're going to talk about that one day. But during times of important decision making, we are not supposed to be anxious, because anxiety will cause you to rush to do something that can cost you the rest of your life and cost your family and cost your generation and cost many people. Any decision you make without consulting with the Holy Ghost is detrimental to your life, is dangerous. And so it's important. Times you come in your life, even decisions as where to move or where to live or which state to go to, what job to you to go to. It may appear like that's a small decision, but it's a major decision. And it can lead to wasting the rest of your life. I don't know how many want to waste the rest of your life, but Jesus is coming. And he is coming. And he is coming. And he is coming back. And he is going to ask you, what did you do for me? So if you are out there wondering, I am calling you and the Spirit of the Lord is calling you here today. Come back to him, pray, and make decisions. Let me bring the word fasting. Fasting combined with prayer is essential in a Christian discipline. And it should be a part of a believer's life. Today, and especially, I'm sorry to say, right here in America, when you talk about fasting, it's like throwing a brick on somebody's face. Because people want to be comfortable. But there are times when it's not that fasting changes God, but your flesh is speaking louder than the spirit of the living God, and we need to bring the flesh under so that you can submit and hear what the Lord is saying. It is important to understand that we cannot manipulate God into performing the way we would like him to in any given situation by way of fasting. Fasting does not impress God. Let me say that again. Fasting does not impress God, but it helps you to overcome your flesh. It helps us purify ourselves so that our spiritual senses are keener to hear the voice of the Spirit of the living God. There are times when I'm feasting and I'm having a lot of good time and everything is going on. And I'm telling you, sometimes when you are in those situations or you are overwhelmed with the situations and things that are going on in your life, when you are so overwhelmed by all those things, it's hard even to pray and hear the Spirit of the Lord. And let me say this to somebody, especially when you are overwhelmed, that's not the best time to start shouting and praying loud, thinking you're going to shut the devil out. You'll be waiting when you get done, finished. Time to get in the Word, get the Word of God, and reason with God. Lord, show me. Holy Spirit, depend on the Holy Spirit, some inside of you. What am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? Lead. I have found that the Holy Spirit can lead me into scriptures that I need to read for the day. I found out that the Holy Spirit can tell me where to go to. Oftentimes you tell me, read Psalms 91. And Psalms 91 starts with this, which I love the most. And most people want to go down further so that they can hear the good stuff. But the first thing that the Psalms 91 starts with is very easy. It's simple. It says, those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Now I want to ask you, what is the secret place? When Jesus was about to come and get gotten by the mob, he went to the secret place. It's a place of prayer. It's a place where you are communing with God and you are with God. Instead of letting the enemy waste you all night without sleep, why don't you say, if you mess with my sleep, devil, I'm going to stay here until morning. I'm going to be on my knees till morning. I'm going to cry. I'm going to wait on the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going to hear God till morning. I'm talking about prayer and how it affects our decision making. You can go into the presence of the Lord with one thing in mind, and after you stay there for a long time and for a while, you come out thinking a different way. Why? Because you are changed. I'm sure when Moses went to Mount Sinai, he went there different. Probably when he went there, all he had in mind is the sheep of Jethro, how he was going to take the sheep back home. He was going to deal with all that stuff, but his wife. But I'm sure when he left the mountain, he left transformed. He was a different man. He had another vision. God put a new vision, a vision to bring the people out of Egypt, a vision to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. Hallelujah. I am saying to you out there, in the name of Jesus Christ, sometimes I believe today we need a fresh fire, fresh vision from heaven. And to get that vision, we have to bury ourselves in the glory and in the presence of the Lord. And you don't move until you know. I love what my pastor said. Don't go until you know. Stay put and love the Lord. God did not put you on the earth to go through trials and suffering day after day after day. God is aware of escape. That's why Jeremiah 29:11 says, oh, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future. A lot of us want to give ourselves our hope and a future, but you cannot give yourself a good life here on the earth. If God has called you and has put a touch of the anointing in your life, that anointing is not for you to just do your own things. It's for you to reach out into his kingdom and accomplish the work of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited because I know this is true. The Lord will often honor your efforts to become closer to him, to be obedient to him, and to strive to walk in a holy manner. Let me give you a story of a man called Bill Bright of Canvas Crusade. Bill Bright of Canvas Crusade. He once said this, "Fasting is the atomic bomb of the spirit." Fasting is the atomic bomb of the spirit. Do you want things to happen in your life? Spend time in fasting and in prayer. Bill Bright of Canvas Crusade once said that. Now, who is this Bill Bright? In 1951, Bill and Fonette Bright, his wife, pursued their passion for ministry, and they started Canvas Crusade for Christ, which is now known as the CRU in the United States, and is in California, I believe Los Angeles. And what began with him, with God in prayer and fasting, what began with college students has since grown into one of the largest international Christian ministries in the world, reaching beyond students to serve inner cities, including military, athletes, politicians, business leaders, entertainment industry, and families. And these guys, the Bright family, spent more than half a century building and leading the CRU to its current size of more than 27,000 staff members and 225,000 volunteers working in 190 countries. This guy, this family, this man had made a contact and gone and spent so much time in the presence of the Lord, and God had revealed to him some things. So the canvas was not built by man's intellect. He walked with God. He stayed in the presence of God. He denied his flesh so that he can fast and pray. There are things I believe that I will not even be in the United States myself. It's not that I am perfect, but I believe God is calling me back to my roots. And what I mean by that is there are things that I only accomplished when I went and tapped into a place called prayer and fasting. It's a place with God where you don't come out until you know that you know that you know that you have a command from heaven, that you have heard the voice of God. There are so many voices on the earth today. There are so many people speaking today. There are so many people speaking today, even speaking into our lives. Like I started to say, we have asked even people to pray for us, but there is nothing happening. Why? Because God is not just calling people to pray for you. He is not telling you to have people pray for you. He wants you to have a constant relationship with him, to walk with him, to be with him. When we had Kenyan Bible Training Center, at one time we had students that represented 35 different denominations. Actually, no, 35 different denominations came through the Bible school. At one class, we had 28 different denominations represented out of class of 40 students. I remember one, I don't want to really mention the denomination, but one guy, he came there, they did not believe in the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the school year, the man was baptized in the Holy Ghost, started speaking in other tongues, was on fire for God. But the only problem is when he went back to his denomination, they refused him to attend to come back because he was so hot. They didn't want to have him back. So he just went and started his own church and his own ministry that grew up and got fire. And the fire of God spread. And many people who were in the other denomination that did not want anything to do with the Holy Ghost came and joined him. Hallelujah. No, there is a place with God. There is a place and the presence of God when you spend with him. As a matter of fact, when you spend with him, you are not lonely anymore because you have the King of Glory. You have Jesus Christ, who is the King of Glory, with you, around you all the time. See, while Holy Spirit will be active in our lives, revealing will of God for our hearts and confirming his will, here's something I found out about him from my personal life. He will also be communicating through his presence. Make sure those cameras are not off line. I'm not going off screen, David. As we have seen, Holy Spirit will tell us whether we are safe or not in any guidance we are considering. That's very important. I slowed down to say that. Because there are times when you have to make a decision. Remember, we are praying about making a decision. This is what I've been preaching on. The Holy Spirit, God himself, put this in me. As a matter of fact, it's on our podcast, which is on iTunes. I'm putting these messages here, and when I get a chance, like I promised, I'm going to do some CD series. I'm going to put it on CD series. There are times when you go to do something, you don't feel right about it. If you don't feel right about it, don't do it. Let me say this. If you don't feel right about it, don't do it. And especially if you lose peace. Now, I'm going to be sharing also, the enemy also can bring concerns. I'm not talking about concerns. I'm talking about a peace. I'm talking about a peace in your spirit. It's a peace of God, a peace that passeth all understanding. When you lose that peace, go back to the drawing board. That means go back to the prayer closet. But I'm going to also throw a caution here. Be careful also not to allow certain fleshly concerns keep you from moving forward in a decision that God has told you to make. So I'm saying there can be fleshly concerns, but there is also a spiritual alertness. Don't. God can tell you to do something, and you move to do it, and you know you heard from God, and then your flesh start to call because your mind now start to think, what's going to happen? I'm sure that happened to Moses at Mount Sinai. Lord, you're telling me to go back over there and get killed? You know, I killed a man out there 40 years ago. Now you're going to send me back there. Now you go yourself. So when I go, you must tell me who goes with me. He says, I am. Everybody say, I am. Oh, glory to God. I am. In other words, I am with me. I want the I am with me in my decision making. Whether it's to buy a house, to buy a car, to get a job, whatever I am doing, I want I am with me. When the I am is with me, who can be against me? When God is for you, who can be against you? Who can lay anything against you? God's elect. Because he will justify you. But the problem is, if you move without God, because You are going to cost something. You are going to cost your family something. Oh, Jesus. When I left Kenya, why do I keep going back there? If it was not God, my mother, my father, my brother, his wife, would be feeling it. But when I talk to them, when Pastor Angelo comes here to give me, to minister to us, and also giving us a report of what's going on in Africa, I talked to my mother. She called me a few days ago. They are excited. They are happy. Why? I'm in the will of God. Oh, glory to God. But while I'm here, I have to be careful not to make other decisions out of my flesh. That's why sometimes when I'm pressed to do something and I feel this pressure coming, I hold back. Because I want to pray about it. To make sure that when it's done, it's going to be right. So that's why I'm saying don't allow fleshly to do that. Because some Christians mistakenly believe that you must come to a place of perfect peace before you can move forward with a commitment or a decision. And they think that if God is speaking to us, there will be no fears or doubts whatsoever. I'm sure Moses in some fears. I don't think Moses just left there, even though God says, I am with you. I believe, especially when he faced Pharaoh, and the first time, Pharaoh did not even move. Second time, Pharaoh looked at him like, I have magicians too. I'm sure there were fears. But was it the will of God? Yes. No, the Bible does not promise the peace of Christ, perfect peace, but it guarantees complete peaceful feelings. I must say this, we must learn to differentiate between our head and our spirit, man. You can have disturbances here, but in your heart you feel right. Oh, I thank God, Pastor Reggie, just Brother Hagen, taught about these matters. Because a lot of people are confused. Is it their hand or is it their spirit? Well, how do you become sensitive as to who is saying what? Is it the devil? Is it the people? Or is it your mind? Or is it the Holy Ghost? When you spend time in the presence of the Lord and also deny your flesh through fasting and praying, and you spend time in the glory and in the presence of the Lord, you are going to hear clear from the Spirit of the living God. God will give you underlying assurance that he will be with you and guide you through the decision process. There is another man called Brain, I don't know how you pronounce him, is Brain Smith. B-L-A-I-N-E, Smith. But he wrote the following about peace of the Spirit. He said this, he said, his peace is the grace that transcends our fears, allowing us to move ahead in spite of doubt. Emotional peace will not be experienced until after we step out in faith. Furthermore, waiting for absolute peace before making every major decision would be paralyzing. But taking the first step in faith is vital to experiencing peace. Until you get into the water, you do not really sometimes know exactly if God spoke to you. So faith comes here. But there are people who are waiting until they die, or they are about time to go home to move forward on what they had 50 years or 40 years ago. Oh, shikara babre vishka mambre vorabare vekete re moshteriyanta baraka saporiente. Father, I thank you for restoration of time, for the body of Christ for this hour, for the evangelist, for the pastors, for the teachers, for the prophets, for those in the ministry of helps, for the apostles, that we will not miss on the direction of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, I thank you right now that these are the days. And just as you spoke to Noah to build the ark, for the flood was coming. Many people mocked him. These are preparation time. There are places and missions that you're going to send us into. And we have to be keen about the leading of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, Father God, even as we continue in this message, as you continue to minister to us, as I felt arrested for a minute, I pray for all those in the fields where harvest is truly precious, but the laborers are few, that you empower them with peace to move forward with what you have commanded them to do. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Taking the first step is vital to experiencing peace and God's blessing. Biblical faith is the step. That, I would say, thrust you forward into the plan of God. And while you are on the way, like somebody says, it's hard to steer a car that is stagnant. If the car is not moving, it's very hard to steer it. But once it starts moving, you can easily move the steering. What does that mean? There are times you make that decision. And because God loves you so much, he is not going to let you go so far in wrong decision if you love him. He's going to arrest you. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but there are times I've written letters or I've written things and I withdraw them. I just do it again and I go back and I say no. Or I want to say something, but then I withdraw myself and I don't do it. So which means you went ahead and did it, but you lost a piece there. So you go back and say, you know what, I'm going to wait a little while. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. That is, you have to examine the decision in the light of the scripture. What is that that the Holy Spirit has revealed in your heart? Do you have peace? The peace of God, is it raining? I'm going to give you, and I'm going to speak, because I'm not going to be long here any further, but 16 things. These are 16 things. Before making a final decision, carefully examine the entire situation using your God-given intellect, scriptures, and ask yourself these questions. There are 16 questions. But before I give you this, I want us to open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Most of you know this very well. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6. Glory to God. Oh, Sharaben, Dengrosto, Prophetis, Tekete, Manana. Sense the presence of the Lord right here, right now. Proverbs chapter 3. Glory to God. Let's look at verses 5. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, Proverbs 3, 5, and lean not on your own understanding. is a warning here. But in all of your ways, not some of them. So when we are talking about decisions, we are not talking about some decision you just go on your own and some decision then you make to the Lord. No, he says, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Notice what verse 7 is saying. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Now, verse 8 is the key there. When you depart from evil, when you do what is right, there will be health in your body. Hallelujah. I won't go further on that, but I can meddle a little bit about that because there is so many times when we wonder why things are not breaking loose in our health. Because we are constantly doing what God is asking us not to do. It's not that God is bringing calamity, but we fall into the hands of the enemy, and the enemy is constantly now playing with us because we are disobedient. Most times say, oh, God is taking me through this. God is not even a part of that. You just decided you're going to disobey God and do your own thing, and now you've fallen into the hands of the enemy. If there is a fence there, and there is a door that is shut, and maybe somebody is saying, watch out for a dog, or whatever, you go to some fence community and say, watch out, a banned dog or something. If you break over and go on the other side, and there was a warning there, you're going to face that dog, and when he starts tearing your flesh, you cannot say, God, take you through there to teach you something. No, you took yourself out there through disobedience. And that's what happened. I hear this preaching, God is taking you through these things, and God is doing this. God is not a child abuser and child molester. Sometimes he is warning us. He is long-suffering. He wants us to do right. But we keep being disobedient. Oh, this is getting a little good. Now, let us go through these things. Before making a final decision, carefully examine the entire situation. That means look every direction. What are the consequences? What is this going to do? What is that going to do? What is going to happen here? What is this? If I move here, what's going to happen? What is... Just don't blindly go do stuff. Because remember, it can affect millions of people. It can affect our nation. Thank you, Lord. Ask yourself, number one, is this new direction, is this decision biblical? Number two, if you are married, is my spouse in agreement with this decision? We got some husbands and some spouses that's going to do anything and force them decisions on their wives, whether it's of God or not. And even when their spouse tried to tell them, hold off, they just go on with it. Maybe the wife had spent time in the presence of the Lord and God had spoken to your spouse, you better listen. Because you're too busy out there and you ain't hearing nothing. At least the least you can say is, I'm not going to suspend the whole thing, but I'm going to take time and also spend time and listen. I'm going to give it a few more days, a month, a week, a year, whatever. That's number two. Number three, these things are not taught. I'm just telling you right now, this is healthy. This is good. Because every day there are decisions we face. And we need to understand this. I am hearing this clear myself from the Spirit of the living God. Number three. Does this decision complement my spiritual giftings? Or is it compromising what God has called me to do? Is the decision I am making compromising my spiritual gifting, my calling? Or is it gonna be detrimental and cost me to go backward? That's number three. Ooh, hallelujah. I asked that one when I was in Kenya. The Lord had spoken to me. I was in a very remote school, village, in Africa, supervising a national exam. And the Lord said to me, I want you, you have been knowing me from preachers, you know, hearing them preach and hearing all this. In this very remote village in the outskirts of Kenya. But I want you now to know me from my word and from the Spirit. I want you to listen to me. I want you to know me personally. There are many Christians who know only what they have been preached to and only know the prophetic word that were given, but they have never themselves dug themselves deeper into the good, into the word of God, and dug themselves and listened to what God is saying for themselves. So that when something comes, they can say, oh, wait a minute, I was also with God. That does not bear witness in my spirit. So anyway, I was out there. And the Lord spoke to me, son, if you know me from my word, I'm going to use you internationally. Now, you got to remember, I had no plans for United States. I had no idea about United States. I didn't know what God was going to do, but I heard him clearly. As a matter of fact, I went and looked up that word international, even though I was a school teacher, I don't think I was very familiar because I thought he's talking about the capital city of Kenya, Nairobi. And then I realized Nairobi was not international. So I started to pray, and I started to wait on God, and God opened supernatural doors, and here I am with so many other nations awaiting us. Our response, somebody was inviting me to go to Vietnam with him, and I've been invited to Israel, and we have been to many nations in the continent of Africa, and India. There are so many nations awaiting us. I know it is real. I know it is true. But if I did not make the right decision, I will not be here today. It's not about your now. It's about your destiny. The devil can bring you all kinds of millions of money and all kinds of stuff to distract you. But you got to think and you got to know it's not about the now. It's about your destiny. It's about your future. And your future is not with any man. Your future is not with your husband. Your future is not with your spouse or with your children. Your future is with you and God. God put you in this earth to do his mission and his mission alone and his will alone. I am not here to please a man. I am here to please my Father, to please my God. Am I doing what he has called me to do? And if I am not, all unto me. Oh, Hishibaha. This is about affecting me too. It's not about just you watching online or even me. I mean, all us who are here. And because I'm putting this online, and I know it's going to reach thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, I have to speak what God is telling me to speak. I'm obligated to speak the truth. Number four. Can I use my God-given talents and abilities in the new role? When I make this decision, is this going to be hindering me from continuing to exercise and fulfill God's will in my life? Say, for example, you want to buy a house, or you want to start a business, or you want to do something. Is it going to keep you away from the original intent and the calling of God in your life. You have to consider that. Number five. I better hurry up because I have 11 more to go. Does this new direction, does this new decision line up with the long-term desires of my heart? Say, you know, down the road, God wants you to accomplish something. God wants you to do something big for him. God is calling you to higher heights. For example, here at MCM, we're always in preparation. There's Life Christian University. Some have come through, finished doctorate. I'm working on mine. There's some working on other levels of degrees. But I believe it's a preparation for the nations. It's a preparation for what God wants to do. Now, if you're going to make a foolish decision today, and then it's going to affect the preparation and the things God has prepared. God has set up local churches to prepare ministers of the gospel to be launched into the nations and into the harvest fields. But most people are not patient enough. What are we going to do? We work our things, I work my business, and you work your job until you die, then that's it? That's not the reason why you are in the earth. That's not the reason why God has called you and me. We have been called by God, hallelujah, into this kingdom for such a time as this. And what we must do it quickly, because I hear more and more in my spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. He is coming back again. He is coming back for you and me, hallelujah. Soon we will not be here. Soon this world will not be here. Soon all the things we are fighting for will not be here. Our houses will be demolished. Oh, halabakushkara barayaha. Eke stokori marahanda. Astopriya taramahanda. Don't be attached to the things of this world. Don't be attached to the things of this world. Don't be attached to the matters of this world. These things are coming to an end. We need to focus on the major thing. And the major thing is the kingdom of God. It's fulfilling the will of God. It's coming into the kingdom of God and doing what God has called us to do. You can be breathing today and tomorrow you are gone. But it is what you accomplish for God. It is what we accomplish for God that matters. It is not all these other accomplishments. Thank God for a nice, beautiful church. Thank God for a nice home. Thank God for a narrow plane if you have one. Thank God for millions of dollars if you have some. Thank God for all those things. But you cannot lose vision of why you are on the earth. It's to fulfill the will of the Lord. It's hurting for missionaries in Africa and many places. It's hurting for laborers in the prisons. It's hurting for people to go on the street corners. It's hurting for people to go out there and teach and reach people. But people are so busy working their own agendas. What can I get? But by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I beg you, make the decisions that will please God and glorify him. We must be about people's business. We must be about restoration. We must be about the Father's heart. And the Father's heart is to the brokenhearted. The Father's heart is to bring restoration. I am so grateful that I was able to be restored with my brother, so that the more work of the Lord can go on. Because now I'm looking back and saying, if I did not obey God to forgive my brother, and let Yalabushkema, where would we be today? I would have hindered him from accomplishing what God had called him to accomplish. Hallelujah. Number six. Do I have the personal resources to move forward in this direction? Or would I have to wait on God's timing to bring those resources to me or to my organization? There are many things we want to do, even in India and Pakistan, in Democratic Republic of Congo, in Rwanda, in Burundi, in Tanzania. But they need money. Many things. Many things the Lord has spoken to me about some nations that we need to go to and do some things. But the resources are required. So if I park and start moving and doing all those things without the resources, and you know, seeing God can speak to you about something, but it does not mean you run away and do it now. You must not forsake the preparation time. There is preparation time. And a lot of people don't understand what preparation time is all about. You have to ask yourself, number 7, do I have the experience necessary to excel in this new area of responsibility? Well, people read the Bible and say, well, what Moses did, he did not go to school and all that, and they justify. But Moses was not living in our day. If Moses was here today, he would be in university, I believe that. Or he would be somewhere. Or school somewhere. Get some education. Or get knowledgeable in the word of God. How about that? Let's simplify it. Just know your Bible. And let the anointing do the best. But don't discard knowledge and say knowledge is not important. I believe what I'm gaining through this universe, for example, is a preparation for this nation, it's a preparation for what God wants to do. Yes, we understand it's the anointing. But we are living in a different day from Abraham, from Moses and Jeremiah and them all. That's another subject altogether. A lot of people will disagree with me, will dispute it. But that's up to them. Number 8. Is the decision you are about to make ethical? Is it legal? You go to jail. Wow. There are people... They don't care. They're just going to go and do whatever. And there's no wisdom. Simply because, for example, God wants you to go to South Carolina and preach the word. Does not mean you go steal a car from the car park. Make a decision to go and steal a car from the parking lot so that you can make it to South Carolina. That's not legal. You're going to get you're going to get busted. And you're going to go to jail. That's just a very funny example. Number 9, do I have the peace of Christ? Is the decision that you are making, do you have peace in that? Do you have that peace? Not necessarily a complete and total freedom from concern now. There is a difference between concern and peace. But do I have the assurance from the Lord that you'll guide me through this new path? If you are getting ready to make a decision, say to get married or to do something, do you have peace? Do you have that assurance that even when things get rough, that God, He who started with you, is with you and will see you through it? Sometimes it's worthy to wait on the Lord, even if you have to wait for 2, 3 years, 4 years. It's worth than to rush out and do something which you are not convinced is the will of God. Number 10, will my decision fulfill a desire that has been planted in my heart? Will my decision fulfill a desire that has been planted in my heart? Number 11. What are the key people around me saying about this new direction? What are my parents saying? I consult with my mother every now and then. Well, say, your mother is all the way over there. But yeah, but she is a spiritual intercessor in our ministry. And she goes into prayer and fasting. And you know, I am the firstborn. So guess what? She gotta pray for me. And she really praying for me. Praying for Pastor Angelo and praying for me. So I just don't make decisions. I have to tell her what I'm doing. She asked me she called me 2 days, 3 days ago, and she said, "Son, what are you doing now? You've been pretty quiet. You're not telling me what you're doing. Tell me. Keep me updated." I said, "Mom, everything is fine." Of course, I've not made any decisions, major decision. But I told her, "You might see me a visit there next year sometimes. Come see you, Mom. I love you." Now, if there are people that are around your family that care about you, that are concerned about you, I'll tell Brother Darrell. Brother Darrell is a great friend of mine. Been known him now for 20 some years. I'll share where I am and what I'm doing with him comfortably, because I know him. He cares about me. He loves me. I know. I can tell. So it's not that you ignore the people. Pastors, professors, mentors, and friends. How has my decision been balanced on the scales of their opinions? You know, this may appear like I'm preaching counseling here today, but it's a good counsel of the Holy Ghost, because we got people running around and making decisions, and they are not even worried about what everybody is saying. They think they are the only one who hear from God. But I tell you what, there are people that God has given around you that hear from God too. If they tell you don't do it, don't do it. Maybe you are so busy running around that you are not praying. You need to be around the council of people who are prayers. I have a pastor, my pastor. I tell him every now and then what's going on with me. You know what? I love it. Because don't forget that God will give up people around you so you can consult with them. I know today is hard because there is not very many people we can trust. But you can depend on God. Hallelujah. Number 12. Ooh, then we have four more. Wow. The time is almost gone. Are the circumstantial doors opened or are they closed? You try to do something, bing, and you say, "Devil." And so you pass the doors in the flesh wide open so that you can run and do what God has called you to do. No? Oh, hallelujah. I tell you what, I feel like something in my spirit right now. Number 13. If the doors seem to be closed, does that mean I should back away? Or do I have assurance that through the other keys to wait in faith for God to bring the circumstances in line? You may want to go do something. I know there are people that God has spoken to them. "I'm going to give you a brand new car. I'm going to give you a home." And they go from neighborhood to neighborhood. They go from car lot to car lot. But every place they go, they don't feel anything that is. So I have been there. You go all over the place, all over the world looking for something, and it's not just there. So you just go home and say, "Well, maybe." You know God spoke to you. He's going to bless you. But it's the timing. Sometimes it's the timing. The timing is not right. The timing is not right. So you just go back and relax and don't think that God has abandoned you. It's just a matter of your time is not God's timing. Hallelujah. Number 14. If the doors seem to open, do I have enough assurance through the other keys for me to move forward in that decision? Number 15. Am I willing to die to my own desires if the Lord directs me in a way that I did not expect? Am I willing to die to my own desires? Some people, God can't even change them. God can tell them, "Don't do that," and they do it. You know, when Moses was at the mountain, you know, the Bible does not tell us, Dr. Darrell, I don't know what it tells us. What did he go back to We are not told what happened to the sheep of Jethro. Zipporah, did Zipporah go to him with him? I don't remember seeing where the Bible says Zipporah, his wife went. Zipporah was his wife, right? I don't remember where it says he went back and packed his all that and took the sheep back over there and told him, you know what, I've been with the maker of heaven and earth. Don't worry about sheep. I'm not going to tend to your sheep anymore. I'm going to fulfill the will of God. Da, 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 da. It doesn't say much about that. But what I'm saying is that there are things that would have called Moses to go back and say, what about the sheep? Give excuses. What about Jethro? What about my wife? What about the children? I don't know. What about? What about? What about? What about? What about? What about? No, when God calls you to do something, there is a price in the flesh. And there's commitment. And a lot of people, unfortunately, today don't want to commit. But commitment is important. Let me tell you something. It was not easy for me to leave Africa. It was not easy for me to leave my mother and to leave my father. And being a school teacher, I was actually, I had thousands of friends, a lot of friends, my uncles, my relatives, everybody in my family was there. I had to die to the flesh, to my desires of wanting to be around them. Because there is something about being around the family, being surrounded by the family, being around those people. But I had to obey God. I had to obey his will. I did not come to America because of all the things that were told about America. I didn't care. Really? No, I came in obedience. As a matter of fact, I remember God speaking to me, and I'm going to close. And he said, while I was in Nairobi International Airport, he said, son, I'm taking you, sending you to America, and there are many gods in America. But one of the gods I don't want you to get married to is God of materialism. And I found out there are people who kill one another for material things. People who literally kill each other for material things. He said, don't buy that God. While God has blessed me through my life, I'm very careful. If I see that I am so passionate more about material more than him, I back off. I've watched that through my life. I'm still watching it closely because the blessings of the Lord increases and he blesses you. And I can stand here and tell you, God has been good to me. God continues to be good to me and he has blessed me. But I have to be careful not to let these blessings take away my passion for the King, for the Lord, because he is the one who has done it, not me. Number 16 is the final one. Am I willing to allow God to give me the desires of my heart, even if it means kneel, possibly frightening challenges and the laws of my comfort zone? See, once you are confident that you know God's will and you have his peace to move forward and you take that step of faith and watch what God will do, just like he did Peter. When he lifted up his foot over into the edge of the boat and stepped into the water in obedience to his call, grace was available. Grace came on the scene. And God will do what it takes to see his will accomplished in your life. Finally, let me say this to you. When I realized I was going to have to make decisions, and even right now, in the midst, about my future, that would determine the rest of my life. One thing I believed strongly was that God and a plan for my life based on Jeremiah 29:11. You always have to go back and say, Lord, what is the plan that you have? Because it's not my will, but your will. Because you can only accomplish God's perfect will as you remain sensitive to his leading. And you cannot be sensitive to his leading until you learn the language of prayer and fasting, or prayer, staying in his presence. So I'm urging you, if you're watching online, as we close, to make sure you are doing what the Lord created you to do. It's not enough to hope and assume. It will all work out. No. You have to be fulfilled in your mission on the earth. Because you'll not fulfill God's will for your life until you walk with Him in prayer consistently and learn to hear specific directions daily. I have to say this. One time someone asked Smith Wigglesworth, and seen over 20 people raised from the dead in his ministry. Great man. He was a plumber in England. But one time, someone asked him, how long do you pray, seeing all the miracles, including raising the dead in your ministry? And Smith Wigglesworth replied, I don't pray for long, but I also do not go 5 minutes without prayer. That's something. Sometimes we set ourselves to pray in the morning and in the evening. But this man of God was constantly in communion with God, constantly talking with God, constantly. It takes emphasis in prayer to accomplish God's will for your life. And until you know the specific, it's impossible to achieve God's complete plan. Life of Jesus there in Matthew chapter 26. I don't have time to go there. As I said, I was closing 5 minutes ago. Verse 21, 41. Matthew 26, verse 41. He told his disciples, stay awake and pray that you will not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Many people are making decisions out of the flesh and not out of the spirit. But you stay in God in prayer, you are not going to make the fleshly decision. Next time, I would like to close this series. And I would like for us to come prepared. To hear a message from the Spirit of the Lord. He has been dealing with me now. And I reserved this message for the last. How to make a decision from a prophetic word. Many of us have had prophetic ones spoken to them. But it's not just enough to hear the prophetic word. It's enough. It's important to know how do you move forward. And I'm going to share that. And next Sunday, since I promise we're going to have communion every end of the month, of course, next Sunday will be the first week of November. We're going to have communion. So you want to note that down. We're going to have communion here. So for those who are not here, please come next Sunday. We're going to break the bread and drink together. Well, we don't like to close our services without giving an opportunity for you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. It's a simple prayer after me. And when you pray, it's so easy. So everybody say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you died and you rose from the dead. I'm asking you right now to forgive me of all my sins. And wash me with your precious blood. I am a sinner and I acknowledge. So thank you, Lord, for forgiving me and washing me now. Thank you for being my Savior and the Lord over my life. I thank you for it and I give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. He has come to live inside of you. It's not complicated, it's that easy. Find a good local church in your area. If you don't have one, we'd love to have you at MCM Worship Center. God is good, God is faithful, and He will bless you. Until next time, blessings. Amen.